I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Welcome to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney. Big shout out to all of you in those nooks and crannies who are fast and furiously circling teams you never heard of, hoping for the couple of bucks that you put into the office pool. You might win a few more couple of bucks. You never know. Sounds like the lottery, right? Someone's got to win. And sometimes that's what happens. Speaking of winners and losers, that's where we start here on the show. Iraq, 10 years later, the 19th officially marked the invasion 10 years ago of the United States into that country. And where have we come since then? Well, December 2011, troops withdraw. There are some that still are held back, but not very many. So in the meantime, what happens is you still have the same problems of the Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds, but you have a prime minister who is a Shiite, and the other groups are accusing him of a massive power grab. So to celebrate the fact that it was 10 years ago that the United States, I think anyway, invaded that country, 50 people are killed by bombs simply because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. In a market somewhere, you had a suicide bomber and other jimmy-rigged bombs to devices that sadly went off, and nobody has claimed responsibility for it, although it's thought to be one of the two groups that are not happy with Nouri al-Maliki, the guy that we pretty much picked the first time around, and then he was voted in the second time around. Doesn't bode well for Afghanistan and the pullout in 2014, although the two countries, even though they are in the Middle East and are bordering, they have very little in common. In the meantime, you have Syria. And oh my, the president said chemical weapons means that enough is enough. Remember, he said there was a line and he would not allow Syria to cross that line, meaning Assad, and if he did cross that line, you better look out, though nothing specific was spelled out as to what would happen to Assad. So chemical weapons, 70,000 people dead. If there is proof positive of that, what does that mean? Victoria Nuland from the State Department kind of skirts around it a bit. Check it out.
We have no reason to believe these allegations represent anything more than the regime's continued attempts to discredit the legitimate opposition and distract from its own atrocities committed against the Syrian people. We don't have any reason to confirm these charges by the regime. We also don't have any information to suggest that the opposition has the capability to do what the regime has charged. We are quite concerned that they will resort to other weapons. We've made clear that this would constitute a red line for the United States. The president could not have been clearer about it.
All right, so now we come to another choice, the decision as to what to do in Syria, to go all in. Is there going to be boots on the ground? What's going to happen there? That question may be answered sooner rather than later if there's verification. How you feel about that, America? Are you on board with the idea that we could now invest ourselves more seriously in Syria because of the high probability, supposedly, that chemical weapons might have been used, that there was that high probability, and things are certainly becoming desperate. The regime is becoming desperate. Dianne Feinstein, the senator, longtime senator from California, said that they have heard in classified sessions that they know where the chemical weapons are, and it's no secret they're there, and the probabilities are high that we are near a time when the White House needs to be prepared. But prepared for what? America, what are you willing to do in the middle of this problem with Syria? You can throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE, or 5283. The other thing that's interesting in mentioning Feinstein when we talk about choices is the choice of getting out of the assault weapons ban lane. So with a gun, anti-gun proposal, if you want to call it that, a gun control, with a big proposal on the board bill-wise, knowing that it wasn't going to pass with just 40 votes in the Senate moves to pull out the assault weapons ban. Feinstein was, remember, the person who found Harvey Milk, the mayor of San Francisco, when she was on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, dead as he was murdered. So she has a thing about assault weapons and was heavily involved the first time around in making that a reality. This time it's thumbs down. It is pulled out of the legislation so that maybe background checks could get supported. And I think that was the play probably all along, realizing it wasn't going to happen, that there was no way, because even the Democrats in states where they want to be reelected in 2014, like Alaska and Arkansas, were not going to get reelected if they went up against the assault weapons ban, if they said yes to it. So they went against it, and there was nowhere near the numbers, 50 even, to get enough to put that in there. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're going to introduce you to a couple of really interesting people. Brandon Lang is someone you met a week or so ago. He talks about the NCAA tournament. I want to remind everybody, in our next show in the third hour, for three huge segments, we'll tell you what the games are on the board. We'll give you two choices. You can call in and tell us what you think is going to happen. Give us a numerical finish, and if you nail the score, you nail the prizes. It's kind of like throwing the balls and trying to knock them off, the milk cans, knock them off of the little plate that's been set up, only it's easier because we've had a few people that have gotten lucky, and maybe you're next. Also, we're going to talk with Weldon Long, and Weldon has a perspective that's interesting on being consistent. Here's a guy that went to prison for 13 years, learned that his father died, and it set him on a way different course. So he talks about being consistent and how so many people aren't consistent, and that's part of the problem. That's the big block, the big hurdle that all of us have. So his story is fascinating. He even goes back into the prisons and now has been into his own prison cell twice when he's gone back, one to a federal pen and another one in a local area. But he talks about getting out of prison after that length of time, and 6 years later, making millions of dollars because of the things that he knew or learned along the way. And he talks a little bit about March Madness and the brackets and how much money companies lose because people are preoccupied with what's happening with the teams instead of what's happening in their own world at their desk. So both of those interviews coming up at the tail end of the hour. But coming up next, how about the minimum wage suggestion by newbie Senator Elizabeth Warren? How high should the minimum wage be? What do you think? What would your guess be? How high should it be? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is John O'Toole with Midas Resources Gold and Silver Company. We have all heard of Rand Paul warning of an imminent currency crisis as a result of reckless spending on Capitol Hill and endless wars overseas. But what are we doing to prepare for it? China, India, and numerous other countries are buying up gold and silver by the ton because they know what's really going on. Don't you think it's time you do the same thing before it's too late? Call me, John O'Toole, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 133, and find out why gold and silver have been the true safe havens for over 5,000 years. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133. I'll send you a booklet highlighting 10 reasons why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's funny how a man only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain. I'm looking at you.
Minimum wage in their lifetime. I'll raise my hand. When I was a kid working in a couple of different situations where I got paid minimum wage, I think I was 14, 15, and did a Christmas job. Actually, it was kind of interesting. Did a Christmas job, check this out, for part-time jobs. Canning was big. There's a thing called canning. Not canning like you're thinking, vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But in the middle of the mall, the kiosks, where people would come in and they would can like a diamond ring. And their girlfriend would have to take a can opener and open the can, the cool can they got with whatever label on it, and get the stuff inside. So I did that part-time where I worked, people had stuff canned. And that was a minimum wage job. I also had a lifeguard job that was a minimum wage job. And I think even a tennis gig that was a minimum wage job for the rec department. So now you have Elizabeth Warren, who says, you know what, we need to triple the minimum wage, $22 an hour from $7.25. She says, you know, this is someone who's kind of kept a little bit of a low profile since she was actually elected. She beat the Republican Scott Brown in November for the seat. And that was interesting because that was kind of a nip and tuck election. And she's saying it's got to be $22. In the State of the Union address, the president proposed increasing minimum wage to $9 and, you know, said, you know, basically, if, you know, this is where we had to be headed. I propose $9 an hour. Elizabeth Warren says if we started in 1960 and we said that as productivity goes up, that is, as workers are producing more, then the minimum wage was going to go up the same. And if that were the case, then the minimum wage today would be about $22 an hour. She was actually speaking, and this is how this came up, at the Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee hearing and said that. So the question was, you know, what happened to the other $14.75? It didn't go to the worker. So how come they didn't get the worker? And this, so this is all hypothetical, that this would make a big difference if the minimum wage had gone up. And she went on to say that an increase in minimum wage wouldn't lead to fewer jobs. That's what's argued by a lot of economists. They say, oh, no, that's bad. But by raising the minimum wage, a couple of dollars at least an hour was doable. It was doable. And she gave an example. She said she ate at McDonald's a bunch of times during the week, and she knew the price that was, you know, what was the price? It was $7.19. And if you look at the data on it, what would happen if you move the minimum wage to $10.10 over 3 years? The price on the item would be about 4 cents. So instead of being $7.19, it would be $7.23. She said, how is that unsustainable? Why can't we do that? Why can't we move that up? So there's a question. Should the minimum wage be a higher number, 10, 11, whatever dollars? And as she argues, you just are seeing a little bit of an increase. Here's the thing. If you have a raise in hourly pay, would it really have an overall effect, a negative effect on employment? And would it prevent employers from hiring the entry-level workers and keeping the unemployment rate at about 8% for the future years, or no? I think it is a good crutch, depending on what it is the company is, say that you can't afford to do it because it's gone up, or you can't afford to have it go up because, again, who's going to get the profits, you know, who's going to get the profits there? But if you look at increasing minimum wage a tad, it also depends on, and this is the problem, not every size fits every situation. This, which is why bigger government, I'm not so much for the bigger government. You can't eliminate all government. We need the government. But a bigger government creates these situations because every town, every city, every business is so different as to what will break the camel's back. If I have a McDonald's franchise and I'm one of however many franchisees, and there's so many of them, you know, maybe I own a couple of them. Can I sustain raising my prices a couple of cents? Probably I can. Unless I'm in some very rural area where they've been smashed by the economy and hardly anyone's working. Well, simple economics there are, they're not going to have money to go out anyway to get the food, even if it's cheap, drive-through food. So it doesn't work. And pushing the minimum wage up wouldn't work there. So this is almost a states thing. And some states have this. California has a higher minimum wage. You think of the cost of living there. And I think this should really keep it a states thing, not so much a federal thing, because of what I just said. Every area is different. And a $10 or more in some areas really would be crippling. It's like you look at the Washington Examiner. This used to be a pretty decent-sized paper. They had to end their daily publishing. They had to end the publishing they were doing and swift to a weekly. And this was a paper that was a popular paper at a time. So the people on the staff were made aware of the changes on Tuesday morning. And they reported that 87 employees were laid off. Most of the editorial cuts came from the local sports and entertainment desks. And then they were creating 20 new positions in June, and they're saying they'll have a new print weekly that gets to be delivered to 45,000 people throughout Washington, D.C. But they can't sustain it. It doesn't make any sense. They can't sustain the printing and all of that. And that's why they had to say goodbye to that and fire the staff. I mean, the Washington Post recently had a quarterly loss of $45.4 million. And they said they had a paywall they had to institute to make up for lost advertising revenue. That was it. So the idea of newspaper print, getting it on your fingers while you're riding on the train or doing something else, ooh, that is going by the board so quickly. Most of the kids growing up now some of your children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, they're not going to be reading papers. They'll probably just look at a paper now if they see it, and it's like, eh. They're not going to read papers at all because they get instantaneous news. And the problem with the newspapers is they didn't keep up with the technology. If there was a way to meld them, some of them are doing that. But it's a tough, tough nugget to fill, to try to fill that gap and make it work. So it just goes to show you my point of everything is different depending on the city, the industry you're talking about. So to have a blanket across the board, it has to be this or it has to be that, I would say wouldn't work. And there would be some people who hire people and need to hire people who will say, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that. It doesn't make sense for us because of the amount of the minimum wage that I'll have to pay out. And with everything else that's going on, that adds up. Think of the newspaper. There's a great example because they have minimum wage workers. They have people who deliver newspapers. And the people who deliver newspapers are in that bracket. They end up in the minimum wage or maybe a little bit better, but not much better. Finally, this one thing, speaking of money, millions of Chase Bank customers were affected by a crazy glitch that hit their checking and savings accounts. There was a zero balance for several hours yesterday, so there was a panic that, oh, is it a run of the banks? Are we in Cyprus? The reaction to the glitch was made more intense by the fact that it was a big story because of the people in Cyprus, this mandatory tax that would go to 10% of their savings for this plundered for a banker bailout. So then Chase was hit by a denial of services attack, and the bank blamed internal issue for the glitch, which really left the customers thinking that they're in trouble, that their online and mobile banking accounts had been emptied of deposits. That had to be a very scary moment. Wait, I mean, I had $5,000 in there. What happened? I have to pay everything. I had to pay all my bills. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the stuff with banking, the hacking and everything else. It's that technology. Yeah. One hand washes the other, and sometimes it doesn't really work out. Hang with us. Mr. Weldon Long next.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. But I have to tell you, it could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. He said, can I come over? She said,
America tonight. You know, we've been talking about the NCAA tournament and how many people suddenly become hoop fans and watch with rabid attention as to what's happening, even during the day with some of these games, because they're part of a pool, sometimes for pretty big bucks, if nothing else, certainly for bragging rights. So what happens to work? It's crazy, isn't it? Weldon Long, who is who's an MBA author of the upcoming book, The Power of Consistency is in the Wings. Weldon, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging with us on ATN.
Thank you very much, Kate. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's funny, the March Madness, it is kind of March Madness, especially when you think of how much it costs companies. How much does this distraction of college hoops at this time of year, do they estimate anyway, cost companies in lost wages?
Yeah, you know, experts have estimated as many as 3 hours overall per employee will be spent on, you know, kind of keeping up with the bracketology, up in the, you know, over $100 million in lost productivity, as kind of general proposition. But the real prospects for businesses are that, they're probably not going to close the doors as a result of the fun people are having around the college basketball season.
Yeah. You know, it's, you work with a lot of big companies, Fortune 500 companies, and part of the reason they would hire you is just by what we said about the name of your book, The Power of Consistency, is to try to get some strategy going to keep productivity going. So what is the right stance that a company should take when all of a sudden the productivity flies out the window for really a couple of weeks at least?
Yeah, well, I think that's the really good news for most companies. You know, the Power of Consistency stands for the proposition that success in business for our sales departments and for productivity, you know, overall are really a reflection of not what we do every now and then, for example, during a basketball March Madness, but really it's a reflection of what we do on a consistent basis, the little things that we do over and over and over again. So the reality that a lot of people are going to be distracted with bracketology. A lot of people are going to be distracted with their college basketball. The real result, the real end result for most companies is that it's going to be a reflection of what they've been doing over the course of the year anyway. So, you know, I know a lot of managers and a lot of business owners and leaders, they can get concerned with the lost productivity, but the reality is the reflection in terms of business performance is going to be more of a reflection of what they've been doing over the course of the entire year. As I like to tell managers all the time, you know, if you had one employee who was really a lousy employee, and he only did a really great job 3 hours a year, you wouldn't be very impressed with that. So if you lose a good employee for 3 hours a year, you know, during March Madness, it's probably not going to be a bank breaker.
Yeah, you know, what about the idea of, I mean, sometimes you could, it depends, I guess, on your management style, but you could kind of adopt it. You could, couldn't you kind of use it as a morale builder? You mentioned sales, especially in sales, because there's all kinds of tricks and gimmicks and things that happen anyway when you're in sales, because you're constantly trying to motivate your sales team. So maybe you could kind of flip that equation. Does that work?
Absolutely. You know, that's the biggest challenge that business leaders have, is keeping people focused, keeping them motivated and kind of moving ahead, you know, towards those business objectives. And you're absolutely right, Kaden, that, you know, you can use this as a way for management to, you know, to kind of, to fraternize with the staff and, you know, set times. I know a lot of companies I've talked to are actually setting times and saying, listen, we're going to, you know, spend a few minutes each morning and we're going to discuss our brackets, who won and who lost and who won how many points and, you know, bring them the games the night before. And to have kind of a time set aside for it so that it doesn't consume the entire day. There are people, as you know, a small percentage that are, you know, completely fascinated and just absorbed with the whole bracketology. But the reality is, for most of us, a couple of minutes each day to feel like we're part of the process, feel like we're part of the excitement, you know, invest a couple of minutes, go over the brackets from the night before, add up your points and, you know, see who stands where and then just kind of move on. So I think a lot of companies are doing that, setting time aside and making it kind of part of the culture that's going on in that particular department or that particular company.
Yeah, I wanted to tell your story because I really didn't flush that out very well at the beginning. I love your story, by the way. The fact that, okay, you're a guy who, you went to prison for 13 years, but you came out and you made it in a very, very big way. In just 6 short years, from what I'm told, you built a company with over $20 million in revenue, and you ended up getting spots all over the place on the who's list kind of deal, like Inc. magazine and whatnot, of the fastest-growing privately held companies. Weldon, how did you do that? How did you survive 13 years in prison?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Kate, and I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, the reality is that I dropped out of high school when I was in ninth grade, 14 years old, and pretty much went on a rampage for about 25 years, lived on the streets, broken, homeless, as you mentioned, 13 years in prison. And about halfway through that 13 years, on June 10th of 1996, I received the news that my father died, and I kind of made a decision at that point that I was going to change the course of my destiny. At that point, I had 7 years left to serve, and I write about this extensively in my first book, The Upside of Fear. But during the course of that last 7 years, I completely transformed my life and created a new destiny. I got an education. I was fortunate while I was in prison. I got my GED and a bachelor's degree and an MBA, as you mentioned. And I walked out to a homeless shelter just 10 years ago in January of 2003, with a new mindset, and that's really what the power of consistency is about creating that prosperity mindset to be successful in business. And I applied everything I learned from the great writers and thinkers, you know, over generations. And within 5 years, as you mentioned, of walking out of the penitentiary to that homeless shelter, built a company with $20 million in revenue. And really what it comes down to is creating that mindset and taking responsibility, really what's in our minds. Because as I learned the hard way, all the destruction that was in my mind and the poverty and the despair, eventually that came out. So what I began to do was kind of change the contents of my mind. And eventually over time, as I changed that mindset, I began to generate different emotions, of course, different actions, and obviously different results. So it was kind of a long process, but it's really the process that I teach other companies. Fortunately, they don't all have to go through the struggle that I did. But we teach those same principles to individuals and businesses about creating that prosperity mindset and not getting stuck in a place that, you know, is bad for business or bad for our personal lives.
Yeah, and to flip that switch, you mentioned your father died, and that obviously was a trigger, and luckily, what a great trigger to send you, a sad event, to send you into a much different direction than the one that you were going in. Do you ever meet people or go back and find people from days when you were on more of that rampage and they look at you and say, "You, wow, really? I guess maybe I can turn myself around." I would think, because your story is so fascinating, I would think that you would be, besides what you're doing for companies, I think that you would be kind of a mentor to some people that are in the same situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do a lot of volunteer work. I think it's really important that we evaluate the contribution that we're going to make with our success. And I've been very blessed, obviously, in the last 10 years of my life. And so I spend a lot, in fact, I joke with people, I spend as much time in the penitentiary these days as I did when I was living there, because I'm often getting calls to come back in and speak to juvenile facilities, men and women, adult facilities. And, you know, I love going back in there. It's always a big-time reality check. I've had a chance to go back into some of the same prisons where I served time 25 years ago, and recently in a state prison in Colorado, actually went into one of my old cells where I was when I was a 23-year-old young man and, you know, 25 years ago. And those things really keep me grounded. But it's an extraordinary experience because, you know, really the people that I'm speaking to in there, they really have to listen. They can't really call, you know, BS on anything, because I was there for so many years. It was my way of life. And it's very rewarding to see a lot of those people. I've come across people that I've served time with. It's remarkable. Recently I went into a federal prison where I served time in the 90s and went into my old cell, with one of the security captains there, and my old cellmate was still there. A cell I had left 15 years ago, and the same guy was still in the same cell. And those things are a big time reality check, but it's a lot of fun to have that, you know, to have that conversation with them and to give them some hope and give them a way out, because at the end of the day, you know, that's what we all need, is some hope and a path out.
Yeah. In your book, the, you know, the power of consistency, is that what it is? You know, people say habits, 21 days, that kind of thing. Is it that we're so impatient, it's just tough to, consistency is a tough quality to find? I think it is a tough quality to find. Yeah. I think some people get it and then they have a moment like you do and the light bulb goes off and wow, it's a game changer. But getting to that consistency, I think, is so tough for Americans.
It really is, because we're an instant gratification, you know, society. You watch the love story and, you know, the couple meets and at a coffee shop, and then they're having dinner, and then they're running through a fountain on their honeymoon all in about 30 seconds, you know. And so we have this kind of impatient society. But the reality is one of the questions I ask audiences all the time is that, you know, we know smoking's bad for our health. We've known for a long time, but a lot of people still smoke. And why is that? And the answer is very simple. Smoking won't kill you today. You know, whatever impact smoking's going to have is 20 or 30 years down the road. And so when there's an activity, whether it can benefit us or as a detriment to us, if there's no immediate consequence, very often we just kind of are oblivious to it. So the power of consistency stands for the proposition of figuring out what you want in life, then identifying, you know, one, two, or three simple things that if repeated over and over and over will eventually lead to the results we want. And that's what I found in my life. I couldn't be impatient. I had 7 years left to serve from the time I discovered these things. And so as I went through that process, I had to just focus on the little things that I could do. At the time when my father died, my son was 3 years old, and I had abandoned him. And there wasn't much I could do, but I wrote him hundreds of letters. And 7 years later, I got out. I was fortunate to get him. And he and I built that relationship through those years through letters. And, of course, today he's 20 years old and in college, and we have a wonderful relationship. But it's because I did that one little thing over and over and over. You know, success in life is not about New Year's Day or birthdays or, you know, kind of those big moments in life. Success in life is about the little things that we do over and over and over. Those little insignificant things that seem insignificant until you look at them in hindsight, you know, and see the cumulative effect over the course of our lives or careers or, you know, whatever the situation is.
Yeah. Wow. Great stuff. It was so interesting to talk to you, Weldon. I really enjoyed it. Weldon Long, pick up his book, The Power of Consistency. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Kate. Pleasure being here with you.
Thanks. Good luck.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term
long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
The show just a couple of weeks ago, or just really it was like a week and a half ago, and we liked him so much we invited him back. Brandon Lang, number two for the money. Matthew McConaughey portrayed him in the film, and we found out all about how the cool things he did to actually pursue his dreams, and then this film was ultimately made through a chance meeting, but he put himself in the right position. So he's all about the magic, and he's having a magical time with College Hoop. Hey, buddy, thanks so much for coming back on the air with us.
Hey, absolutely love it. Anytime I can talk hoops, I mean, for crying out loud, I was in the grocery store and had an 81-year-old woman talking to the clerk about her brackets. That doesn't tell you it's March Madness. I don't know what is.
It is March Madness. Do you think we're going to see the kind of March Madness where there might be a lot of upsets this time around?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, there you have so many number ones that have fallen in consecutive weeks during the regular season that it leads itself to believe we're going to have some upsets. I mean, looking at my bracket, I think it holds true that Louisville will run through that Midwest pretty well. I think you're going to have some craziness in the West with Ohio State and Gonzaga, Ole Miss, Arizona, Iowa State, Wichita State. I think there's some craziness in that bracket. I think we're in for some craziness in the South. You got Villanova, North Carolina meeting probably Kansas, and then you got VCU and Michigan down there in a possible round of 32 matchup. At the bottom, you got Oklahoma, Georgetown, Florida. I think there's some madness there. And I think as far as the East is concerned, I believe it'll hold pretty true to form, with the exception of I'm calling for a pair of upsets there. Bucknell to take care of Butler. I think Davidson's going to upset Marquette. And I think we're going to have a Cinderella in the Sweet 16 of Bucknell-Davidson winner. I have Davidson there, but I have that bracket holding pretty much true to form with Indiana, Syracuse, and Miami of Florida. And, of course, in the championship game, I got Louisville and Miami.
Ooh, Louisville and Miami. Wow. Boy, that'd be fun to watch that one. No question about it. And of course, the alum from both of those areas would just be huge. It would be absolutely explosive. What are some things that we can look for when we fill out brackets? Because the odds in actually having a perfect bracket are off the charts. It's like 9 trillion. It's a ridiculous number. I was reading this somewhere. So perfect bracket is probably impossible. But, you know this. If you're doing brackets, and besides the straight up betting, you're looking for points usually in the brackets. What are some things we can look for in some of these matchups?
It's funny you say that, because everybody says, do I do a bracket and post it on BrandonLang.com? And I go, no, because me, it's a game by game, point spread by point spread type deal. So I don't do it. First and foremost, last 3 years, a double digit seed has gotten to the Sweet 16. So there's your upset there. Last year in the first round, a 15 seed beat a 2 seed. You had 2 upsets there. So again, you're going to have the upsets, but I always tell people, when you fill out your bracket, don't get so caught up in the early stuff of what's happening. You get the boatload of your points with your Final Four and your national championship winner. I've seen people get crushed in their pool, yet pick all 4 Final Four, get the national champion, and win the thing. So you get the small points early on. You get the big points for your Final Four and your national champ. So really focus in on your Final Four. Really focus in on your national champion. If you hit 3 out of the 4 of the Final Four and you pick the national champion, probably for the most part, you're going to win your office pool.
Ooh, that'd be sweet. Some of those office pools are pretty big bucks, because they get so many other people to, throw in and bet on the games, that I think the amount just starts to churn and burn, and people make some pretty decent money on that. But as you said, you're looking game to game. And does that sometimes change for you? So something happens, you look at everything, you analyze all kinds of things that could possibly happen. But, somebody sprains an ankle, a star goes down, that certainly can change the face of what can happen in a game, right?
Yeah, and then you see teams handle the nerves better than people think, and you see a team match up, and maybe you have followed that team in their non-conference schedule early on in November and December, but then you finally get to see a match up against elite talent. I'll give you a perfect example of that. You got a Robert Morris team that was the best team in their conference, and they just happened to wet the bed in their conference tournament. They were absolutely the best team in that conference, bar none, and they just had a little hiccup. I mean, bottom line, team had only 5 losses or 6 losses all year. They hiccuped up. Kentucky was laying a 4.5 number to them tonight, and Robert Morris ran them out of the gym. I think they're up 9 with 7 minutes to go. So that there is a case. You have another team, Norfolk State, that was the best team in their conference, and I believe they had 6 losses for the year. And here they are tonight, a 16-point underdog at Virginia. They should be in the NCAA tournament. 1 bad game. I think they lost by 3 in their conference tournament. I believe they jumped on Virginia 10-0 as a 16-point underdog. So, again, you're going to find that in the tournament, these big-name schools will be laying points, and you gotta focus in on the underdogs. You're seeing it tonight with some of your conference, some of your regular tournament action, and you're going to see it on Thursday.
Yeah, you're not surprised by how big this game has grown, by leaps and bounds, right?
I'm going to tell you something. I've been doing this over 20 years, and I know for a fact that there are office pools where the buy-in is $100,000. Winner takes home about $2 million.
Wow.
It's almost, and I know, listen, just to keep on that point, I know fantasy football leagues where the buy-in is $100,000. The winner gets somewhere in the neighborhood of $1-2 million. Oh yeah, this is as good as it gets. And you got, like I said, starting at 12 noon Eastern on Thursday, you have 12 straight hours of basketball. On Thursday, 12 straight hours of basketball. On Friday, you have your brackets. You have people wagering for recreational purposes only. It is absolutely the next 4 days starting on Thursday. It doesn't get any bigger than that as far as the volume of what Vegas will do over those 4 days is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and you know what? You and I both know this, but I think a lot of people living around the rest of the nooks and crannies around this country might not know it if they've never been to Vegas. Brandon, I'm telling you, there is nothing like March Madness in one of the sports books in Las Vegas. It's crazy, isn't it?
I've seen grown men cry. I've seen literally grown men fall on their knees, rip their ticket. One game I'll never forget was the Northwestern State Iowa game. Steve Alford was at Iowa. It was a huge upset. Some guy had bet Iowa on the money line. I think they were a nine-point favorite. Northwestern State hits a jumper at the buzzer to win it. The man fell to his knees next to me and literally started crying. Don't know what he had on it. Don't know what the deal was. Went the money line big, somewhere in the neighborhood of six figures, and fell to his knees. Over about two rows next to me were guys that were from the area of Northwestern State and were in complete joy, and literally within one guy, literally 5 feet away, this group of guys was 10 yards away, and I'm like going, my God, if this isn't March Madness, I don't know what is.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have a favorite year? I mean, that's a great recollection. For you, is there a favorite year the whole time you've been doing this?
Yeah, it's believe it or not, March Madness is second. To me, it's the NFL playoffs. There's just something special about it. There's just something about the football and the magic of it all because, you know, my Super Bowl record, 19-2 over the 21 that I've been asked to pick with the two pushes. People say two pushes. I'm like, yeah, Green Bay, New England fell on number 14, and St. Louis and Tennessee, where they got stopped at the goal line, fell on the closing number of 7. Other than that, 19-2-2 over the course of my career. So once the playoffs get here, I know the Super Bowl is literally 4 weeks away. And for me, it's just like, man, the juices get going, and there's nothing better than NFL playoff football leading into the Super Bowl. But then it's March Madness. It's the next 3 weeks. It's the nirvana of I'm a basketball junkie, still play now, still a white boy with a jump shot. If I'm walking in the gym, I'm in range, still can bring it at 50. Nothing gets me going like hoop.
If Miami and Louisville don't meet, what do you think's happened? Who poisoned the well for those two not to make it there? Do you have any feelings on that?
Yeah, Indiana holds true to form and beats Miami, which I don't think they can. Miami is so balanced, and Jim Loringa is a great coach, and he's got I think I said on your show last week, he's got a Miami of Florida team that's a George Mason on steroids. They're experienced. These are kind of the nucleus of the kids he had when he took over the program. Got a good influx of players coming in. Larkin at the point's fantastic, and running through the ACC tournament the way they did, they just look like they're back in peak form. And if Kansas holds true to form and gets to that final and knocks off Miami of Florida, if they avert some upsets, Bill Self in Kansas, they always have that one game where they fall. A couple years ago, VCU got him, and I think VCU has a shot to get him again here if they don't stumble against the North Carolina Villanova winner. So it would either be Kansas or Indiana holding true to form as a number one seed from both the South and the East.
Yeah, this is the last question, but where do you pull up and watch this? Do you watch this at the office, at your house? Do you run down to a casino? Where do you like to watch the games?
I'm alone in my office. I got about four TVs in my main room, and I sit in there and close the door. My daughter's 3.5. She comes in. She's already a basketball junkie, so she'll come in and watch me. She got a little basketball hoop off to the side working on that jumper. There's a knock on the door. It was the lady coach from Duke had to turn her way already getting IJ a little playtime at 3.5. But I'm alone, sequestered off, and the wife knows to leave me alone. And the next 2 days, starting on Thursday, it's addiction at the highest level.
I love it. Brandon Lang, if people want to check you out, they go to BrandonLang.com, correct?
That's it. Pretty simple.
All right. Awesome, dude. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.